This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, every one of us is supposed to pray 5 times a day. Prayer as in salah. If you look at the word salah, it is unique in the Arabic language. It does not actually translate in English as prayer, but we use the word prayer because it's the closest term to explain that we're actually connecting with our Maker. But salah is not actually the word prayer, because prayer could also be dua or supplication. If I were to raise my hands and beg from Allah in any language, even if it's my imagination and I'm trying to word it and I'm not so good at wording what I want, you and I know that that's a supplication. It's also called a prayer. If I say to you, for example, pray what? Pray that we have a good event. Is that salah? It's not salah. It's a dua. I'm asking you to make a dua that we have a good event. What language is that in? In any language whatsoever. It's irrelevant to Allah. The fact is, you're calling out to your Maker for you to achieve something. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Now, when it comes to the 5 daily prayers, we're talking of a specific set of actions and words with an intention that starts in a specific way with Allahu Akbar and it ends in a specific way with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, right? That's salah. You pray 5 times a day. We are taught that it's one of the most important pillars of Islam. The second pillar of Islam is prayer. In fact, we are taught that if your prayer is in order, everything else will be in order on the Day of Judgment. And if your prayer is not in order, you may have a major disaster on that particular day. May Allah forgive us. May He make us steadfast on our prayers. Say Ameen. Ameen, 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 Ameen. So, imagine if I were to tell you that the caller who calls to the prayer, known as the what? Say it. Muadhin. The caller who calls to prayer gets a full reward for everyone who came to pray and who prayed as a result of the reminder that he offered through the adhan. Hayya ala salah. What did he just say? He said, come to prayer. And then you came to prayer. Who gets a reward? The one who called you to pray. Atwalu an-nasi a'naqan yawm al-qiyamah al-mu'adhinun. The Prophet ﷺ says in a narration, the most conspicuous people on the Day of Judgment with the longest necks, meaning you'll see them, are the ones who used to call others to pray, those who used to call the adhan. One of the reasons is they get a full reward for everyone who prayed. And if you know a muadhin who's been there for 10 years, 15 years and more, imagine how much reward they're getting. I'm getting a reward for my prayer alone. He's getting a reward for 1,000 people a day. The bigger the masjid, the more the reward. And sometimes you have people at home, like the women and the others, who may have heard the prayer as a reminder and then prayed. Who gets a reward? The one who prayed, fulfilled, and you get a reward. But the one who encouraged or reminded you in any way or participated in facilitating your prayer gets a full reward for your entire prayer. Now I want to take that somewhere else. The men who are here, how many of you have been to the masjid? Put up your hands. That's everyone. Everyone. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Okay. How many of you have been to the masjid in the last week? Put up your hands. Everyone again. How many of you have been to the masjid on Friday, Jumu'ah, this last Jumu'ah? Put up your hands. Same number of hands. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. Okay, I want to tell you something. Do you know someone paid for where you parked your car, if it was a parking within the boundaries of the masjid or within the boundaries of the property of the masjid? Someone paid for the place where you took your shoes out and put them there. Someone paid for the cleaning of the tiles or the carpet. as you walked in. Someone paid for the water that you used to make wudu. Someone paid for the towels that you used to actually wipe yourself. Someone paid for the bathroom, if there is a bathroom, or facilities to relieve yourself somewhere within that compound. Someone paid for that. Someone pays the workers who work there on your behalf, because you are a beneficiary. You actually have benefited from what someone has given. And someone has paid for the cleaning of the carpet, the salaries of the imams, the electricity, and so much more. A lot of the times, those are people who have put money in the tins and the boxes, and they've sent money to the accounts of the masajid, and you could be a person who's never ever paid. What value would you put at one prayer in the masjid? Can you tell me? If I were to tell you, put a value, a monetary value, at your Salatul Fajr that you made at your masjid, how much is it? Can you tell me? Anyone wants to say something? Come on, scream the answer, yell it out. A million? Anyone wants to go higher than that? A billion? Anyone wants to go higher than that? A trillion? Anyone wants to go higher than that? It is priceless. Raka'ata al-fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. See, I've been affected by Brother Rahim, right? So, I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, the two units of Fajr, the sunnah of Fajr, are better in value than the whole world and whatever it has. If that is the two units of sunnah of Fajr before the obligatory two, imagine what the farad is worth. If the two sunnah is worth the whole world, the farad is worth way more than all of that. You see? So I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, if someone were to tell you, pay £1 for every time you went to the masjid, it is cheap, it is almost free. Today you came here, I'm sure you paid a fiver or a tenner. What did you pay? 15, that was a late ticket. Early bird, what was the early bird? 7, there we are, 5. Someone's paid 5, 7, 10, 15. That's how it staggered going up, right? And I saw some tickets for sale from people who couldn't make it online, and they said, I have a ticket for this date. Anyone who wants it, you can buy it from me. Those must have even paid 20, who knows? But nonetheless, why do you pay? Why do we let you pay? Do you know what's the reason? We don't want someone else to pay for you. This venue costs, the lighting costs, the sound costs, the volunteers, mashallah, they will be rewarded because the bulk of them are doing it free. But you have costs, for example, of the sound system, the video, videography, and everything else to put it together. It costs money. If you knew the amount, you would be shocked. Many a time, they actually have an amount that they compensate for you. But they want you to participate in this beautiful event with your money as well. What's the point of making it free? Everybody will book up, and you know what happens when it's free? They book 10 tickets, 20 tickets, and no one's going to come, because they're going to say, this is for me and my family. Recently we had an event and we said, free. Everyone started booking. One email, 20 tickets, 30 tickets. I went to the organizers, I said, no, one email, one ticket. Why? You must use your email because you're serious to come. Because it's free, people think we can. And then on the day, there are hardly anyone. Because, oh, I booked 20 tickets, I'm only one guy, the rest of them didn't want to come. Who told you to book for them? We'd rather you participate with your money so you get a reward, not just for your participation and your attendance, but for everyone who benefited, your £5, your £7, your £15. Today we have thousands of people here. I haven't seen this place as full as this. Honestly, this particular venue, I've not seen it as full as this. Subhanallah. For a light upon light conference. Yes, in Ramadan, we have many more people. But that's the Taraweeh and the Iftar, inshallah. Are you going to join us this coming year, inshallah? We have three events, 2025, Ramadan. 25th night, 27th night, 29th night. All three nights will be just in London, inshallah. We're not going to go elsewhere. We're going to have all of them in London, and we're going to have thousands of people. And you know what? If you're paying, you're not paying for the Taraweeh. You're not paying for the, you're paying for your own food. Or would you like a poorer person than you to pay for your food? Is that what you want? You'd rather pay for your food and put a bit more and say, this is for someone who might not be able to afford it, for their food. Subhanallah. Okay? So We charge in order to give you a chance, an opportunity. People say, why do you charge? What for? It's an Islamic event. Well, would you like someone poorer than you to cover the costs of your attendance here? What a shame. What a shame. If you really cannot afford it, we have this Quranly app, right? Quranly app, it costs a lot of money. There is a lot that goes behind the scenes and so on. And on it, we say, whoever cannot afford, click here. When you click there, it says, it makes you like take an oath that you really can't afford it. You get it for free. There are more people who've taken it free and we don't mind than those who have paid. But I tell you what, someone somewhere is covering the cost. Would you not like to be someone who says, listen, this is my £5. Here's another £50 for 10 other people who can't afford it. Do it. You can. I can. I do it a lot of the times. If I have sometimes some causes that I know is a good cause, I'll give my own money and tell the guy, cancel the event. I've done this. Someone invited me for a fundraiser more than once. I say, how much do you want to raise? They say, we want to raise 20,000. Okay. We get someone to transfer the 20,000, cancel the event. Oh, is it? I say, yes. What's the point of having? How much money do you, we need 20,000. We give you the 20, cancel the event. Don't waste your time. No. Cancel the event. I will cover. Why? I know the cause. I want the reward. I know what happens. You know, when we travel and go to so many different countries, do you really think that everyone is paying? No, they're not. We've been to Sierra Leone, we've been to Gambia, we've been to Nigeria, we've been to so many countries, we've been to Liberia. In fact, I will miss some of the names. We've been to Tanzania. Besides one or two events that are paid, the rest of them are free. Who covers the cost? There are people who care, who say, look, when you have an event like this, I want to participate. What is that? It's called a sadaqah jariyah. It's a waqf. It means I will pay so that someone can change their lives. Every time they do a good deed, I will get rewarded for it. And when they teach their children, I will get rewarded in my grave for something that will continue beyond my life. Subhanallah. So we said, when we had a meeting, let's give people the opportunity to participate in this. Don't be selfish and do it all on your own. If I wanted, I could. And we have done it. It's easy. But you want to participate? Come join us. Let's go. Iman Legacy. Any other waqf, mashallah, tabarakallah. Here we go. It's an opportunity given to you. It's an opportunity that Allah Almighty opened up. Others will scramble it. Like I said, we go to the masjid. I want to ask you a question. It's going to be embarrassing, but I want you to put up your hands because I want to prove a point. How many of you have donated more than £100 to your masjid in the last month, to your local masjid in the last month? Don't be shy. Don't put your hands up if you haven't. If you've donated £100 or more in the last month to your local masjid, please put up your hands high. I see one. I see maybe two, three, four, five, six from the thousands. Now, for 1 month, I read salah in the masjid. I haven't even given them £100. And I'm saying, no, these sheikhs, don't pay them. I don't get paid, by the way. Alhamdulillah. But you've got to pay the people. What is their livelihood? The imam's salary should be more than a doctor or less than a doctor. Tell me. I heard more. Where's the money? Come on. We rely on you to donate that money. Everyone will become imams. You know, many years ago, in 2007, I traveled to Saudi Arabia and I saw a Toyota Camry, the new shape. It's a true story. And I loved it. 2007. The Camry changed shape and I loved it because I'm always a Toyota guy. So I decided to order one because I come from Zimbabwe. We ordered one from Japan, right? Through a certain company, Toyota Japan. And they delivered it in 2008. It wasn't such an expensive vehicle. And the brothers who helped me do it, mashallah, and it was black in color and it was an amazing vehicle. And I drove it to some of my, you know, events at the time. So we ask people, what do you want to become? What do you want to become? So a few of the boys said, I want to become a mufti. So they asked, how come? He says, have you seen the car he drives? Did you hear what I just said? I want to become a mufti. He says, but why? He says, have you seen the car he drives? What does that mean? You look at the car and the guy says, I want to be this. Wallahi, if we paid the mashayikh a top-notch salary, mashallah, what would happen? The kids would say, check the Ranger. I'm going to be an imam. Allahu Akbar. Mashallah. Allah bless you guys. Allah bless you guys. I'm not saying it's connected, but I am saying take care of them. They take care of you. They They come to do the adhan in your ears when you're born. And they are the ones who do janazah when you die and you haven't even paid them a penny. Come on, is it fair? Wallahi, this is the time. There are others paying for you. I've seen wealthy guys say, I'm not going to give to the masjid because I disagree with the committee. But you fulfilling salah there. Your salah costed someone else at least £5. You used water, you used the towels, you used the bathroom. Many people don't use the bathroom in their own houses. They go to the masjid. Don't you know that, guys? You see, they're laughing because you know what? They are guilty. You know what I'm talking about. They'll tell you, hey, I need the bathroom. I just need to. And they'll go to the masjid. Why? Come on, because someone's paid for beautiful bathrooms. There's water there. There's everything there. And mashallah, someone else is going to clean it. If it's at home, who's going to clean it? Someone from among the family, right? May Allah make it easy. So this is what I mean. Start thinking about how poor people have paid for you in so many things you do in Ramadan. How much do we give the masjid? Yes, we'll donate everywhere else, but we did Taraweeh the whole month. I reckon you should pay a minimum of 30 quid, 1 quid a day. That is nothing, but still, if the whole masjid with 1,000 people paid 30 quid for the whole month, you've got 30 grand, right? Sorry for using these slang languages, but you know I'm using British slang, right? 30,000. 30,000 from 1,000 people. It will cover some of the cost. Many of us go for iftar. We eat, we munch away like we've never seen food before because it's free. That's why. Am I right? We had the Light Upon Light event here. We gave one hot meal in Ramadan as iftar to everyone. And then when we were done, we told the brothers, anyone who needs a second one, there are a few left over. I think there were about 15,000 people. We had about 15,000 meals. And they always come up with extras, just in case. You know, my tank is about 45 liters, but I've seen guys with 145 liter tanks. Mashallah. I don't know where it's going. It just goes one, two, three, and you're watching, say, Mashallah, Allahumma barik, Allahumma barik. I got to do a dhikr just now. He says, you know, Mufti looked at me and I had the runs. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Sorry about that. But nonetheless, nobody paid. So when we made an announcement, you can have a second one. Wallahi, with these eyes, I saw people taking 10 meals and going. And I'm thinking they want to go and distribute it to who? It's a free meal. Do not become of the habit that when something is free, you take it unnecessarily. You want it, mashallah, take another one and say, Alhamdulillah, no problem. They've offered you and don't be shy. It's fine. But to take 10, it means you need to be shy. Come on. I'd love to have taken a photo, but we don't expose people and we don't want to do. We're only mentioning it in passing. Look, I'm mentioning it after almost 7 months of me witnessing it. I'm saying without any, you know, particular names. But my brothers and sisters, someone's paid. When you pay for that meal, ask yourself, how much is it? I promise you, it is subsidized. Do you know that? You pay for an event and you have a meal and you have a, and it is so subsidized if you know the costs. There are others who are paying it for you. Wallahi, mostly. That's why when I got up a little bit earlier, I said, I want to show you how the poor pay for the ibadah of the rich, facilitate it. Your Ramadan, you didn't really give the masjid, you gave everywhere else. No. There will always be politics in every single mosque in the world. In order for you to be tested, how are you going to navigate through it? Are you going to not give simply because I didn't like that imam? Put the money. What's 30 quid? What's 5 quid? What is it? Get used to giving a little bit. Ask yourself, look, they used their money for me. Subhanallah. So when you see a good cause and the growth of a good cause and you see something happening across the world and it's something good, ask yourself, how can I be a part of this? And then when you want to be a part of it and Allah's accepted your money in it, because Allah only invites those whom He wants to be a part of the cause to donate, the rest of them, perhaps Allah did not want the money. The cause will continue with you or without you. If you say, I'm not going to give the masjid, you didn't give for the last 10 years. Guess what? The masjid grew, they renovated, they expanded, you kept using it and you didn't give and other people kept giving. But the masjid did not stop. The masjid didn't stop. It continued. The project did not stop. It continued better than what it would have been had you been a part of it. So Allah says, this guy, keep him out. You know why? Some people, when they donate, they want to control. That's a problem. That's not a donation. That is an investment where you want the return for yourself, not for the ummah. I know people who say, look, I'm giving money. What do I get in return? You get a reward. What do you mean? It's a corporate world. Is this a material item for the world? Look, we've got things set. Things are moving. Everything is happening. It's growing. What expertise do you have in this field? If you have expertise, we take you on. You don't have expertise besides money. You've got nothing else. We don't need the money. Keep it. Do you know why? You're not giving it to the cause. You're actually pushing yourself with money into position. Many people do this. Many people push themselves into position because they have money. They say, I'll give, but I want to have a seat here and a say here. Well, then keep your money. It will proceed without you, won't it? So this is why we say, my brothers and sisters, ask Allah to use you and to use your money to do good. Oh Allah, use me to do good. Oh Allah, I'm weak. I'm sinful. I've done so many mistakes, but I need to do so much of good. Help me to invest my deeds in a way that brings back the biggest return ever. Then when you see a massive event in Sierra Leone, for example, you can just smile and say, Allahumma lakal hamd. Oh Allah, I thank you for using me to be a small part of those who contributed towards the success of this event. You would know, Allah would know. The day they raised funds for this, you gave them £50. That was good. That was amazing. You gave them £5. Amazing. Amazing. Beautiful. Why? Because you helped all this happening behind the scenes. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. The true worshippers of Allah, when they donate food or they give something in charity, what do they say? They say, we have fed you for the sake of Allah. We don't want a recompense from you, and we don't even want a thank you from you. The fact that Allah saw it and it was for Allah is sufficient for us. Imagine you give someone a lot of good. You donated to a cause. You gave food. And those people don't even say thank you. They look at you and they nod their heads. By right, if you gave it for Allah, you would not mind. You wouldn't mind. I'm sure you've heard me say this. And I say it because of these verses that I will do good to you even if you don't do good back to me. It's okay because you're not a part of my full equation. It's me and Allah. I'm doing it for Allah. Oh Allah, I gave. You saw it? I saw it. Khalas. How you took it and didn't take it, I really don't mind. That is what Allah says in Surah Al-Dahr. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We feed you for the sake of Allah. We don't want a thank you from you. We don't even want you to be good to us in return for the goodness we gave. If you did it, good to you, not good to me. If someone does good to you and you say, may Allah reward you, that may Allah reward you is good for you, not for them. Allah will reward them without you saying, may Allah reward you. Have you ever understood that system? If you say, Jazakallah, who's the benefit for? Jazakallahu khayran. That's how you should say it, right? That statement benefits the one who said it more than the one who is actually receiving that prayer. Because when I gave you, I gave for Allah. Allah's rewarded me before you said Jazakallah. It's already there. What's the point of your Jazakallah? It's important. It's a sunnah. It shows gratitude. But it's more your merit, not mine. That's how we look at things. This is Allah. This is the plan of Allah. The system of Allah where He accepts those who have a kind heart. He accepts those who have a clean heart. He accepts those who care for others. And He says, come, let's use you to do the good. We won't use the others. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, cleanse your heart. Remove hatred, envy, jealousy, ill feeling. Don't be vulgar and abusive. Don't hurt people with your language. Try to care for others. Care for everyone. You see people, different race, different nationality, different part of the world, different size, different financial level, different social standing. Treat everyone with utmost respect. Utmost respect. You know, as I was coming up, I stood here in the holding area for a little while, waiting for my turn. And I saw some of the kids coming to greet. And I'm torn between not disturbing the man who was speaking, who was Brother Rahim, and greeting this person that doesn't really cost me much and they want to talk to you. And then one came and another came and a third came. And I'm torn between telling them no and telling them, okay, it's fine. What do you do then? It's very hard. some people might dislike you. They might say, look at this guy, he's arrogant. And so on. You might have heard what happened to us in Birmingham the other night. I felt so hurt that I had to call these boys up. I'm sure you saw the story, right? So I'm torn, but then I still saw some of the kids. I said, okay, let's see some of them. And I tried to be as polite as possible because I treat them as though they are my own kids. And that's a fact. I will treat the children, no matter who they are, as though they are my own kids, because I would like you to treat my kids like that, inshallah. And so therefore, even when I said no to a few of them, I said, you know what? I need to go up. And I was about to go up and I said, I greet you, but I can't sign this paper because I'm about to go up. If I sign yours, I've got to sign everyone else's. So don't worry, I love you, and you guys can go and sit back on your seats. They might have been a bit upset, but I tried to be as polite as possible. I wouldn't mind if you put my kids in their place in such a polite way. It would be a bonus. It would teach them as well. But no, the reason I say this is try hard to work on yourself. Be good to people, even sometimes when you're in a situation where it's hard to be good. That's your test. That's your test. And I don't mean that let people wrong you and say, it's okay, it's okay. They slapped you, it's fine. Gave you another slap, it's fine. They damaged your car, it's okay. They did something wrong to you, it's no, 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 no. You damage my car, you pay. Am I right? But I'm not going to swear you. I'm not going to, you know, sometimes people make an accident and then you find a guy come out of the car and swear F's and B's. It's called an accident because it was by accident. I don't know of anyone who goes in and rams intentionally unless they're crazy or cuckoos, right? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Allah forgive us. Wallahi, crazy people. Those need to be dealt with because they are perhaps criminal sometimes. But if you look at the rest of the world, the 99.99999%, the accident is, I made a mistake, okay. But you were on your phone, okay. They have to pay for the fact that they were on their phone. They have to pay for the repairing of the vehicle. They will get points on their license. Whatever else happens, that does not justify you becoming disrespectful and abusive. Not at all. When you came out and you started swearing, I'm going to be late, I'm going to this. All of that is against you. It's irrelevant. Allah wanted you to go through what He designed for you, perhaps even before you were born. Sorry about that. But my brothers and sisters, many of us get cross and upset and we become abusive and we don't realize, even in our own homes, the way we talk to our family members is ridiculous. That is a sign of a dirty heart that needs to be cleansed. Clean your heart. Let it be the most beautiful experience for those living with you or around you or those who interact with you. Let it be an amazing experience. The day you die, they will say, I really, really, really miss my mother-in-law so much. She was one of the best. Ameen. Why was there no ameen there? Please, guys, just be fair. I'm trying to just tell you to be calm and cool. Masha, I know some of the best sisters who are mothers-in-law and their kids-in-law always say, oh, mashallah, my mother-in-law. The only problem is she's standing right there. But nonetheless, my brothers and sisters, here we go, clean your heart. You know what? Why I say clean your heart? When your heart is clean and you are making an effort to worship Allah, those two, when they come hand in hand, Allah uses you to do a lot of good. I know some people very knowledgeable, but very arrogant. Allah does not use them. Your knowledge can be a mountain. No one wants to hear what you have to say because of your arrogance. The way you think you're such a big dude and the way you think everyone else is astray and they all are really, you know, they don't even deserve my presence. And so that is attitude. The messengers of Allah did not have that attitude. Who are you, man? So Allah doesn't use a person with knowledge. No, not necessarily. But when you have the knowledge with what is right and you calm yourself down and humble yourself and understand it's a trust entrusted to me by Allah, He can take it away at any time. But for as long as Allah's given me, I'm going to hold it and take it and beautify it in the most beautiful way. I'm a salesman. I'm trying to market the deen of Allah to you in a way that is palatable and beautiful, recognizing who you are to me and what your condition is. They asked me a few days ago, what is one thing you learned over the da'wah that you've been calling towards for so many years? And I said, one thing I've learned where I've changed myself is, to put myself in the shoes of those whom I'm talking to and think about it hard before I open my mouth. Today I'm talking to you. I know there are so many different people, different levels of perhaps practicing, different levels of community, society, but all of you are just like me, human. You all want a connection with Allah, just like I do. We're all trying to get paradise, just like I do. May Allah gather us in paradise. Ameen. I'm convinced, inshallah. The love we have, the beauty, the heart. Right now, our hearts are softened. We are sitting listening to what? To goodness. I'm not calling you towards me. I'm calling you towards doing good for the sake of Allah, because we want to please Allah. Two things. Worship Allah, build your connection with Him, and learn to be kind to the rest of the creatures of Allah. That's what Islam is all about. There's something called Hukukullah, the rights of Allah. And there's something called Hukukul Ibad, the rights of the rest of the creatures of Allah, or the worshippers of Allah. If you've done both of those, you're good to go. Yours is paradise. Seek the forgiveness of Allah, because I'm a human. You're a human. I have faltered. I make mistakes. I've sinned. I still do wrong. I continue to do wrong sometimes on different levels. May Allah forgive me and forgive all of us. But I have hope, because I'm dealing with a Lord and a Creator and the one who's in charge of every aspect of me. He is merciful. He is kind. He is amazing. He's beautiful. He's the most forgiving, the most beneficent. Wow. I can't wait for the day I meet Him and I'll just be smiling. Oh Allah, I tried. I tried. Oh Allah, have mercy on me. Oh Allah, I was not an evil person. I tried to be kind. I tried to navigate through every situation in the best possible way. As a human, I have faltered, and I may have faltered at times without knowing. You know better than I do. Oh Allah, here I am standing in front of you. You are my only hope, and you are the one whom those who have hope turn to. Forgive me. Do you reckon Allah is going to say no, go to hell? Nah, no chance. No chance. I don't think so. We're trying. Are you not trying to fulfill your prayer on time? Are you not trying to improve? Are you not trying to dress more modestly every day? Do you not have something you're aiming at? Inshallah, one day I want to get there, and slowly working towards that. If you have the intention and you're slowly working towards it, even if you died halfway up the ladder, Allah will count you as though you're right at the top of the ladder. How's Allah? Allah says, we judge you with your intention. You work towards it? Yes. Let me give you a quick example. Few. I plan to go for tahajjud or to do tahajjud. I get up 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, right? The fourth day, I overslept. Guess what? The angels wrote that I was there. How? Because I intended to get up, but somehow I overslept. When I arrive on the day of judgment, I'll see so many tahajjuds that I didn't really do. What happened? Allah says, I'm the most merciful. I know you are my worshipper. Didn't you want to get up? Yes, I did. Well, I just wrote the reward for you. Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Thinking about it, it's hair-raising. How merciful is Allah? That is what is the meaning of the most merciful. Allah says, you know what? You wanted to do it, didn't you? Well, I just wrote the reward for you. Allahu Akbar. Imagine you want to memorize the Quran. You start now doing one line a day, one verse a day. And you're 60 years old, 70 years old. One verse a day. Oh Allah, I want to memorize the Quran. One verse a day, one verse a day. How long will it take? I don't even know. I don't even know. It's going to take you years and years, but you're doing one verse a day. You lived up to the age of 80 and you only did 5 juz and you passed away. Guess what? You're resurrected with those who've memorized the Quran. Takbir! You're resurrected with those who memorized the Quran. You know why? You used to do one verse a day, but you kept going. And Allah knew your life is not going to be as long as is required to complete this. But because you had the intention, didn't you have the intention? Yes, I did. Well, I just wrote your name from among those who did it. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. My brothers and sisters, we go back to basics. We go back to basics. We fill our pillars of Islam. Take your zakat seriously. Give and you shall be given. Anfiq yabna Adam unfiq alayk. Allah promises you, O son of Adam, spend. And when I see you spending, I'm going to spend on you. I will give you. You gave. You know, I met a wealthy man, wallahi. And he told me, for me, it's a 3-year cycle. I said, what do you mean? He said, whenever I've given something, 3 years later, I get back more than 1,000 times what I gave. Wallahi. You give humbly, and that's it. And he says, I gave, and he mentioned a massive amount. He was just explaining it to me. out of gratitude to Allah. He says, I gave something at a time when it was very difficult to give and people couldn't give because of the economic situation. He says, Wallahi, 3 years passed and Allah returned it in a flash 1,000 times more than, and I was just like, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So give, Allah will give you. Give, Allah will give you. Spend, O son of Adam, I will spend on you. That's zakat. And on top of zakat is something beyond that you can give and should give from your own money. Every act of worship has with it the voluntary aspect if it has a compulsory side to it. Like for example, you have prayer 5 times a day. A part of it is farad. That means it's obligatory. You have to. Allah gives you an opportunity to show your connection with Him by doing more than farad. So what else is there? Sunnah. And what else is there? Come on. Nafil. You can do your sunnah, which is voluntary but recommended. You can do that which is nafil, which is not even recommended, which is not like recommended on the same level, but you do it, you'll be rewarded. You left it out, you're not going to be sinful. That's nafila completely. The same applies to your fasting. You have the farad in Ramadan, you can't let go. And if you've missed any for a reason, you have to make them up later. But then you have that which is sunnah, nafil. Sunnah is the 13th, 14th, 15th of every month, the Monday and the Thursday. You have a nafila, you can fast sometimes the other fast. The fast of Ashura, for example. The fast of Dhul Hijjah, for example. Yeah, mashallah, tabarakallah. What are you doing? It's an act of worship that has a compulsory side to it. And it's also got a voluntary. Allah wants to see you. This is mine. Are you going to give any more from you? Let's see. Same applies to zakat. I tell you, there's a compulsory side is how, what percentage? Say it. 2.5%. Mashallah, we know it. 2.5% of your savings. 2.5% of your cash at hand or what you've saved, your gold and silver and so on. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, beyond that, Allah says, okay, that 2.5 was mine. But what are you going to give now from you? Have you ever thought of it? 2.5 is Allah's. If you don't give it, you're sinful. If you give it, you're done. You get a reward and mashallah. But Allah says, let's see. We are going to dangle causes in front of you and you've got the money. Are you going to give some, at least a little bit? You know, the companions, they used to come with everything they had. This is what I'm worth. All of it is yours. The same applies to Hajj. Hajj is compulsory, but you have a minor pilgrimage called the Umrah. How many of you have not been for Umrah, never seen the Kaaba? Put up your hands. May Allah gather us there. May Allah take you there again and again. And even those who've been, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the opportunity to visit again and again and again. It is life-changing. It is the most sacred, most powerful place on earth. Nobody can explain to you what it's like. Without you going there, you won't know the exact extent. They might tell you, they might be able to explain a little bit, but not exactly how it is. You need to go and experience it yourself. Make dua. And that's why one of the first places you want to visit outside of your place of living, if given the opportunity, is the house of Allah. Sometimes you might not be able to go for the Hajj, but at least you can go for the one that's not compulsory. It is voluntary. Go again. The hadith says you are forgiven. Your sins between the two umrahs are forgiven. Your sins between the two jumu'ahs are forgiven. Jumu'ah is a Friday. You went to the masjid or you did your salah, the Friday prayer. The next Friday prayer you do, the minor sins between the two, wiped out. Subhanallah, that is Allah. So Allah wants us to give. Allah wants us to respect each other. I end with a verse. Allah Almighty says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ
O you who believe, don't nullify the reward of your charities by being abusive and by bragging about it. That means the accepted charity is that which is given in a way that there is no abuse and no bragging. You can give publicly, no problem. You can give privately, no problem. But if you are giving in a way where you're going to belittle the one you're giving, Allah says, it's going to harm you. It's going to harm you. If you are going to brag about it and say, oh, you know, these guys, when they had nothing I gave them, they came up. Now look at how big they are. Don't talk about it. Why should you mention particular people to say, I gave them. If you want to say, I gave to a cause in order to encourage someone else, by all means do that. Look, brother, you are my friend. I tell you, I gave to this cause. I don't regret it. Ever since I gave, Allah's blessed me with so much, this. I suggest you give. MashaAllah, that's good. I'm telling you based on an encouragement. That's fair. It's okay. But to brag about it and to have a chip on your shoulder and to lift your nose up 1 inch above everyone else. That's me. I gave. It was me. Come on. Who are you, man? May Allah Almighty forgive us all. Nonetheless, my time has just come to an end. But I really, really thoroughly appreciated my time here. Whenever you're invited to any event and you have to make a little payment, please, by all means, give. Don't ever complain. Thank Allah for using you to be a part of making this whole thing happen. Today we have an event. How did it happen? It happened because of you. It happened because you came. It happens because you wanted to come. Do you know how this event came about? Let me explain. We had a few events and they were all sold out. And the wait list had 4,000 people on it. And so immediately the organizers say to us, to me, can you stay over for one more day? I said, by all means, I'll stay over. 4,000 people. Okay, go for it. Bismillah. And there we are. May Allah Almighty accept us all. Grant us ease and goodness. May Allah love you. May Allah use you to do good. May our hearts be softened towards the right things. And may Allah protect us from harm, from evil, from loss, from sin, and from being nasty people whom nobody wants to associate with. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.